This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Monday edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. Are they calling for nothing but rain this week? I think that's what I saw yesterday.
I didn't see a whole lot of rain.
You didn't see a whole lot of rain in DFW yesterday or in the forecast?
No. In the forecast.
No, yeah. It's supposed to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I think over the weekend too.
All right. Maybe I didn't look past Monday. Boy, Arlington, maybe I looked on Friday and it went till Monday.
Arlington got pelted by hail yesterday.
Fort Worth too.
Oh, it was bad.
I saw some in Fort Worth, but Arlington, yeah, very bad. Hopefully, did not damage what you were doing too much. Bobby Belt was in Arlington as they finally won a series.
3-2 to Smith in the payoff pitch. It swung on, hit deep to right. This one's way back, and this one is history. A 2-run homer for Josh Smith. And we are on easy street. It's 8-1 Texas.
Eric Nadel with some relief right there, with some comfort, with some happiness, as Josh Smith had 3 extra base hits, 4 RBI total. We'll get to the difficulty in watching this. Hopefully you heard it on 105.3 The Fan, or maybe you were right there like Roberto.
Yeah, you're welcome, everybody. I was there to lift their spirits, get the offense going. You can politely ignore the fact that Texas had already kind of jump-started the offense on Friday. But, no, it was good. It's good to see, and especially on a day where it didn't look like he battled, he got it done, but it looked like a second game in a row where, like, DeGrom wasn't necessarily in command like he normally would be. And so...
These are some pretty good outings for not being in command.
I mean, it is, but when you are talking about, all right, you're getting 4 strikeots in there. He has the 3 or 4 walks yesterday. He gave up some hits. Like, it's not the same sort of dominance that you're used to. It was good, but it's certainly not one of those performances that they've typically won when somebody's pitched like that lately.
Was he healthy? I don't care how many strikeouts. Six innings, 81 pitches, whatever the hell it is. I don't care, man. Like, as long as he's healthy, that's all that matters.
Did they say, I didn't even hear why. Did they say why the trainer came out in the first inning and was dealing with him?
Another finger thing.
See, that's,
I don't know, it was a finger burn.
You know, like, guys used to, like, soak their hand in pickle juice back in the day. Just pee on his hand. You should just pee on it.
Yeah.
If you pee on it, it'll take care of all that stuff.
First question of Brett Boone Wednesday.
Have you ever peed on your hands?
Are you willing? No, are you willing to pee on DeGrom?
Yeah.
Ooh. On him, okay.
Someone should do it.
I know. I mean, you can't. You only have so much in you. You need other people to help out to get. You get more. You get more of that.
First
stuff.
Question Wednesday 9:20
from Choppy.
Are you willing to put the one on DeGrom? He'll go one fastball. No, the other one.
The other one.
And I think he'll shake that off as well. But they got 2 breaks. I thought no one home on any of the bases in the 7th inning. That equaled a wide Lankford sacrifice RBI, and then the catcher throw down to second base in the 8th. Jake Berger, Bassick wanted to drop it. There's a smash burger, or there's a double burger as he hit a shot down the left field line. That made it 4-1, and you heard Josh Smith add the extra insurance as Nate Eovaldi goes on the 15-day DL. But as for DeGrom, he has now pitched the most innings in a season for him since 2022. 69.1 innings.
Nice.
6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts on 81 pitches.
30 1/3 more innings will be the first time he's reached 100 since 2019. So 30 1/3 more innings. Once he gets to 100 innings there, baby. He hadn't reached 100 since 2019.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, he was healthy in 2020.
Yes, he was.
He had the shortened season.
Yes, he was.
But, yeah, it's. I mean, look, it's not looking like the same guy, obviously, from 2-3 years ago, whatever else. But it is somebody who still is one of the better pitchers you can throw out there, it feels like, on any given day, and somebody who's been getting it done for them consistently.
And look, if he is...
Keep him healthy enough for the deadline.
Yep.
More on that, more on that later on.
If he is going out there and he is throwing 85%, doing one of two things. A, staying healthy. Look, you can deal with this Jake DeGrom. Now, you may not be paying for this Jake DeGrom, but it's better than getting... What's that?
We are.
Yeah. But at least you're getting something as opposed to him on the shelf. But the other thing is, you know, if he pitches like this, and then when he gets, if they ever do figure out how to score runs and they get to the postseason, and then he dials it up to what we know he can do, then you might have something.
They were shut out for the 8th time on the season Saturday last year. Again, a combined total of 5 times being shut out.
So the Rockies have 9 wins. Will the Rockies end the season with more wins than Rangers get shut out this year?
Will Scotty Scheffler have more wins
than the Rockies?
Than the Colorado Rockies. The stat that was out there since May 4th, Scotty Scheffler has 3 wins. The Rockies have 3 wins since May 4th.
They're the first team ever to have 50 losses before they have 10 wins. I mean, we're in June. They've got 9 wins. So like eight shutouts is lunacy.
So you're saying Rangers getting shut out versus what?
Versus the Rockies total wins.
Oh no.
I mean, they're neck and neck.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not laughing at the question, but I'm gonna pick the Rockies.
You're gonna pick the Rockies
win total. which hopefully the worst of the Rangers offense already being there. And then on Friday, Jack Leiter, 5 2/3, 0 runs allowed, 6 strikeouts. Is Marcus Semien starting to break out a little bit as he goes 4 for 4? And he had a decent day yesterday as well, Bobby.
Yeah, he had a decent day before he got thrown off a second base there late in the game. But no, look, you're hopeful that this is the start of him kind of clicking it together. I'm trying to think, it was the second year, it was the World Series year. I think he also maybe had it happen the first year he was here too, where he had started out really poorly the first 2 months of the year there too, and then kind of picked it up and started hitting the ball harder and got a few home runs and fell into a rhythm. And you just hope, okay, this is the new Marcus Semien experience that starts off slow and then he gets it together around June.
7 of his last 8. Hits in 7 of his last 8 at-bats. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is turning it around. That's all. That's a hell of a turnaround. I mean, he's finally up above 200. Maybe quite hitting his weight.
It's the Boone difference, man.
It is the Boone difference.
Bob, you picked the right game to go to because I was searching for this thing on my regular TV go-tos. Brian brought us. I mean, I could feel his pain. Yeah. I could feel his struggle as this was another Roku television game.
You know, usually I'm just accustomed to like the 2 p.m. home start. You know, like over for years and years and years, it was a 2 p.m. home start, and the notifications like, oh, it's on noon. Go to the channel 677. Da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. You hear that music? That's all you hear, right? It's just on a loop, and then the white screen of death that just says next game is June 3rd, and all right, I got to update my app. There's no way this. And then it's on Roku. There we go. Now let's find this thing.
Hey, Pay, were you able to find it? What did you have to switch on over to in order to get the game yesterday on TV?
No Roku. No nothing. I got all the channels in the world. No Roku. At least not on my TV. I haven't been able to find it at all.
It's just the app. You just got to download the app.
Telling us you did not watch it.
Well, I listened to it, of course.
Yeah.
The fans. Yeah. So there you go. Odyssey. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Sure. I think I have Samsung TV as a backup with DirecTV Stream. They make you go through Samsung to get all that. So I had it on Samsung TV. Yeah.
You can get it on the DirecTV. If you download the app, you hit the home thing, the home, the little house on the top, and they'll take you to your apps, and you just got to download
it. I guess they view it. The most interesting thing with that is having to hear Bassick play it like a national broadcast, instead of being a fan and rooting.
It was like his coming out party, his resume tape.
Yeah, he couldn't be too homerish. He was on there with Carey.
Is Chip Carey.
I can't
Skip,
keep him.
Skip, Chip, whichever one. Not the Braves guy. Yeah, the other one.
Yeah. So the Rangers finally win a series, and they have another nice day off before the road trip that's taking place. They got 9 games in 11 days on the road. At Tampa, starting tomorrow, then Washington, then Minnesota. Tampa, Washington, and the Twins.
And that was not a That was far from a bad Cardinals team that they just beat. Like they've struggled. We talked about, you know, you mentioned you didn't want them to get right games against the White Sox and just basically dupe them into thinking they were doing something. This was a Cardinals team that had won like 5 out of 6. They were like a season high. I think they were like 8 games over .500 when they started the series. They've been really good this year, and they've played really good as of late. And so this wasn't just getting yourself right against a really bad team or somebody who's just worse than you. You beat and beat down a couple times one of the better teams in baseball.
And you're basically getting now, I was hoping that the records were worse for these three coming up. But Tampa Bay, 1 game over. You're actually surprised they're not better. I thought the Nats would be worse. They're 3 under. And then you have Minnesota 4 over in the Central.
Well, the Nats, you know, they've kind of reaped the benefits of the Soto trade a little bit. They traded him. They got a lot of pieces back. They've kind of dumped a lot of their players, a lot of their vets from that title team in 2019. And they've kind of recouped that. Tampa's in second place. I would not have thought that they're barely over .500 in
third
second
place.
Well, tied. Yeah, right. They're tied for second place in the East with Toronto.
So Toronto's 31-28 with a .525 winning percentage, and then I see Tampa 30-29 with a .508. It says Toronto's 5.5 back and Tampa's 6.5 back.
This same website. I know, right? We are in the twilight zone right now.
Yep.
Mine says both teams are 30-28. So we'll go with yours. Let me hit refresh. yeah. So either way, like they're a .500 team that dumped at the deadline last year. Remember the deadline last year? They traded Rosarena. They traded a couple other players, and like they were the opportunists that we talked about.
MLB.com has them in third. So did you have that up since yesterday? It still should like automatically refresh.
Still should refresh.
Yeah.
I thought I did this morning.
Okay.
Maybe it was just.
Well, there you go. I got the slow phone. You got the slow computer. We have an NBA Finals for Adam Silver.
7 seconds left. Time will run out. And the Eastern Conference Championship has been captured by the Indiana Pacers. You can hear the crowd. They are just ecstatic.
And you can hear the opposite in the NBA offices as we get the TV markets going up against one another. OKC versus Indy.
Oh, baby. Sign it up, man. Let it go. Let it happen. This is, you know, the Major League Baseball will get... every once in a while, you know, they got Yankees Dodgers last year. The NBA gets, you know, LeBron and the Warriors a couple times. But this is this is what the Major League Baseball was worried about when it was us versus Arizona.
Which is a little, even at least Texas is. Dallas is a top five market.
Huge.
It's not even the same sort of comparison here, because these are what, it's 47-25 or something. I mean, these are not big markets. And it's funny because they are probably the most well-rounded, best teams that we saw during the playoffs from both conferences. Yep. And you got the matchup that was supposed to happen in terms of best basketball, but I have basically zero interest in watching it. We will, but I'm hoping somebody sweeps so that we don't have to spend 7 games watching them.
And no one has picked up on the song in the background, as Tolo said and tweeted me, this was on top of the charts the last time the Indiana Pacers made it against the Lakers.
God.
Yep.
It's a long time.
01?
01, I think.
It was against
2000 or 2001.
Against a Kobe Shaq team.
Yeah.
And this was on top of the charts. Their second ever NBA Finals appearance, and congratulations. We are happy for Rick Carlisle. But I'm with you. I did not care about the West Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Yeah. I cared more about the East and the West when the West was the battle for the next in the NBA with SGA, the MVP, and Ant.
Yeah.
And I cared more about the East.
The East had, there was the intrigue of, like, the Brunson and Rick Carlisle both being in the series, you know, having the local ties. And then, of course, the Knicks fans melting down.
Comeback.
The comeback. So it was a more entertaining series.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot. I think the Knicks-Pacers games were just obviously had more intensity. The Thunder-Timberwolves stuff was all over the map in terms of those blowouts. But it's not anything that I'm the juice is kind of gone. It feels like, all right, playoffs are over. You got the East champion and the West champion, and that was kind of all I needed to see. This will be kind of uninteresting to watch. It's just not the personalities or the sex appeal I feel like that you would normally want out of
unless
it.
Indiana surprises early, but everyone thinking this will be about five games with OKC walking away with the NBA championship and Ruben will be partying in the streets.
Not if
partying soberly.
Not if Pascal Siakam, the Eastern Conference MVP, much to Tyrese Halliburton's surprise.
Yeah.
We're doing that. That was my favorite clip of the weekend was Tyrese Halliburton like, excuse me, guys, move out of the way. I'm about to claim my trophy and then realizing, oh, I didn't win it and having to fade back.
How much ice is there, pun intended, between Pete DeBoer and Jake Oettinger? Stars end of season cleanup and press conference. See if this is going to be a problem with the offseason. Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Mintz Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Mintz Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINTZ-TEA today or visit MintzTeaClinic.com. That's MintzTeaClinic.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dallas Stars trying to clean things up after the Western Conference Finals loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Our first time hearing from Jake Oettinger after being pulled 7 minutes in what was ultimately the shortest stint of his entire career. Let's see how Jake sounds.
Obviously, wasn't expecting that to happen, but yeah, it was surprising. But you know, the reality is, if you know, I make one or two of those saves, then I'm still playing in the game. So, you know, the only way I'm looking at it is, you know, how can I get better from that? How can I can, you know, make those saves that I've made all playoffs? How do I make them in that game at the start of the game? Give the guys a chance to get their feet under them. And as a goalie, you know, that's your job. So I got to do better than that.
All right. So all accountability in that response. Need to figure out a way to make two saves I usually do. How can I be better? Pete DeBoer, who said to reporters he had not had an opportunity to speak with Oettinger yet. Is that a thing, Pete?
You know what? No one's a bigger fan of Jake Oettinger than me as a person or a goalie. Does that mean that, you know, he can't be coached or he doesn't have growth left in him? Absolutely. He's a young goalie. You know, he's a young goaltender. And, you know, I think, you know, from a coaching perspective, you know, we're 1-7 against that team at this time of year in the conference finals. So, you know, everything's on the table. Lineup decisions, goaltending decisions, you know, system decisions, you know, everything's on the table when you you're looking for some type of way to flip that momentum, because it you know, it's not a small sample size. 1-7 is not a small sample size. So, you know, but that's not just on Jake. That's on our entire group.
It's anyone's net, Jim. That's the quote. It's anyone's net. That's the reality when you've lost 6-7 against a team. The same team, there is questions that had to be made about the roster, about the goalie, about the coach, all together against that one team. It is that one team that seems to be sort of the
haunting you.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Like they just so happen to be the one team that's also there every year in the conference finals.
I don't believe, or here's the thing. G-Bag has a joke in the afternoon that anybody
called 2-7.
Anybody Dawson is criticizing, Dawson's always go, and hey, look, he's my guy. And then so the running joke is anytime Dawson's talking bad about anybody on the air, they'll say, but he's your guy.
Screw you, Jared.
He's your guy. Right, Dawson? So anytime I hear, nobody's a bigger Jake Oettinger fan than me. It's also similar to like the police interrogation where they're like, look, I think you're a good kid.
Yeah.
You're like trying to get it out. It doesn't sound totally sincere to go, No, look, I'm the biggest Jake Ottinger fan. It doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't feel like you're the biggest fan of Jake Ottinger right
now. Really weird comment from DeBoer as well. He said before game four that the coaches had talked about giving Jake a rest because he had played more than any other goalie. And they were worried he was worn down and he was dealing with an upper respiratory thing as well. So fatigue and an upper respiratory, they were thinking about this anyway before game four.
Man, you don't hear too often.
That sounds like BS.
That you give a goalie a rest day in the playoffs. Look, I know they play every other day. They're not doing like the NBA where you have game one and then a week goes by, then they hit to game two. It's not like that, right? It's literally every other day in the NHL. So you never hear about this. At least I can't think of a time where I've seen a goalie just get a rest day in the playoffs.
And then Ottinger was asked about the embarrassment coming back from the locker room, and then that still shot of sitting next to Ray Ferraro as Ferraro is talking about the move, and he's right next to Jake on TV.
Yeah, I was on the screen a lot more than I thought I should be. I don't know why they kept showing me. I'm like, I haven't moved in a half hour. So, it's just, it sucks. Like, it's embarrassing. It's anytime you get pulled, doesn't matter if it's playoffs or if it's regular season, you just want to go right off the ice and crawl into your bed and not talk to anyone. So especially in a moment like that, it's really embarrassing.
So look, just judging by that, and I was waiting for the question, are you cool with Pete? Right? Did we get that question? Are you okay with your head coach moving forward?
You got asked the question if basically, like, are there any concerns or any issues moving forward with you two? And the reply he gave, he didn't say no. What he said was, look, I think we can all learn from things and, we just move forward and put our best foot forward. It's like, okay, well, that you would think it would just lead off with, no, there are no concerns about it. We don't have any issues moving forward if there were no issues.
The media here is going to get, especially from Stars fans, the media is going to get accused of making this a thing.
Yeah, they are.
Is it a thing that DeBoer didn't talk to him before these pressers?
Yeah, it's been 2 days. Well, like, what were you, why wouldn't you
You're
have talked
to
him?
You're supposed to wait 2 days before you call somebody.
Yeah.
That you just get their phone numbers.
Yeah. Especially like they're like rotating at the podium on the same media day. Like you don't just stop by, say, hey, I just wanted to make sure we're good. I know there's a lot of chatter about this. You haven't talked to him since? That just seems weird to me.
It does seem a little weird that you haven't talked to him.
I would want to talk to him before the press conference.
Because
that's all you're going to be asked about.
Right. So you would want to at least have the answer say yes.
Yeah.
We've had a conversation, not your business, what we said.
Yep.
The fact that they didn't have a conversation, I don't know. Is DeBoer just giving him, like, time to cool off? Like, maybe he's still hot? If that's the case, I don't know. I really don't know why he wouldn't be talking to him yet.
If he's not talking to him yet because he's letting him cool off, well, then there's clearly an issue between them. But, like, either way it is, there's clearly something that's up by him not talking to him.
Roope Hintz confirmed his foot was fractured after the slash by Darnell Nurse. Fractured.
And that's...
How could he not be? If people are like, oh, was it a dirty... Of course he was. He took the stick intentionally and cracked the top of his foot.
Yeah.
And then he did it again.
And then he missed a game. Like, he had to miss a game. Which, these guys are so tough. Fractured foot. you miss 48 hours of hockey. It was fractured. Of course it was intentional. Of course it was retaliatory. And of course it should have been a bigger penalty than it was. Like, that's the reality of it. This news is just confirms what we all knew, is that this was a really, really, really bad hit.
Jamie Benn was up at the podium. He is a free agent. Jamie, what does your future look like and what do you want it to be?
I don't see myself going anywhere else. This is all I know. So hopefully we can get something figured out and then I don't have to answer these questions.
Matt Duchesne gave an amazing answer about Jamie Benn. Basically, I thought maybe Jamie Benn and his impact was overrated before I got here, but he truly sounds like an ultimate glue guy just behind the scenes, bleeding green and black, according to Duchesne.
Yeah, he's
was also up to leave.
He's somebody who, I was listening to G-Bag talk about this the other day, and they were all talking about how, like, yeah, this is probably somebody that's, going up into the rafters eventually for them. Like, this is somebody who has been like the face of the Dallas Stars now for the better part of a decade, essentially, and has been willing to transition throughout his career to also become like, all right, I'm the muscle, I'm the enforcer, I'm the leader, I'm whatever else, has been willing to change throughout time.
A team that lacks a whole lot of grit doesn't really want to get rid of, to me, doesn't really want to get rid of one of the few grit guys they've got.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of the few guys that will be an antagonizing factor.
Like losing Jordan Lewis. You're the Cowboys. You don't have a whole heck of a lot of it. And that, it just went to Jacksonville.
Yeah. Like, I get it, right? Okay, he may not be scoring at the rate that you want him to. He may not be the impact offensive force that you want him to be. But this team already is, they're, like it or not, they're going to have a soft label on it. Just the reality of it.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of what they are. Like, they're not a hard-hitting team. Do you really want to get rid of the one guy who tries to get under Hyman's skin? Do you really want to get rid of that guy? Like, one of the one guy who tries to get under the skin of all these players? All right.
Well, do I keep him just for that? Or do
not,
I go
not
and
$8
try
million.
To find another enforcer?
Right, yeah. Not at whatever salary he's been having. Obviously, he would have a pretty massive pay cut. But, yeah, I think at some point you would want to keep somebody like that around.
The odds are out for the Stanley Cup Final. Who is the favorite?
Florida.
No.
Wow. Okay.
Vegas are suckers.
They're so hockey.
Edmonton is minus 120. So that gives the Oilers a 54.6% chance of hoisting the Stanley Cup and getting their revenge.
Okay. All right. This is pretty even, right? Minus 120 is pretty close.
Yep.
I assume Florida was plus 100.
Yep.
There you go. So that's pretty close. And this is going to be, I hope, a really, really fun series.
Aren't people, who told me people were mad that McDavid touched the conference trophy?
So it's the Campbell Trophy goes to the winner of the Western Conference. And I think they call it the Clarence. But he touched it. He touched the trophy. And this is a big no-no.
Clarence would just come to life and fight everyone back.
Yes, he would. Very good. Good reference there. This is a big no-no. It's a superstition thing. You are going to be...
We might as well get rid of all conference championships in sports. If I'm the league, I'm saving money on it. You don't want to touch it. You're called a jinx if you do it. Yeah. Let's just get rid of the conference trophies.
Listen, so last year they didn't touch it.
Oh, the Mavs would put it in the rafters.
They would, absolutely. Last year they didn't touch it, okay? And they lose. They wind up losing anyway. So McDavid, you know, on the American Airlines Center ice, goes up to it and grabs it and holds it up. And all the fans that are in the watch party in Edmonton, you can hear them in the background going, "What are you doing? No!" And Sean is now the biggest Edmonton fan in history because he hates jinxes, he hates curses.
Yep.
Doesn't believe in all that. Doesn't believe in the no-hitter jinx, all that stuff. So he is now the biggest La Bamba fan. He's going to be blaring La Bamba, all the Richie Valens songs.
La Bamba. Donna.
But like Connor McDavid said, because he got asked about a postgame. He was like, yeah, look, I didn't touch it last year. We lost. So, like, let's see if that gives us some different energy. Yeah. I'll touch it this year. Right. It's still superstitious. It's just in a different way.
Oh, yeah.
He's
but
running it reverse.
The superstitious didn't work.
Right.
The luck, the thought didn't work last year. And you numbnuts who believe in these jinxes, you psychopaths, still can't have it land in your head that it didn't do anything. So now he touches it to try to do the reverse, and you're mad about that.
Yeah, now hockey's fickle. Like, you don't touch the Stanley Cup unless you've won it. Like, no, your players, like, they come around, they see it, they don't touch it unless they've won it. Okay, all right. But, you know, the conference championship, do they not touch the AFC trophy?
Right.
Do you not see Patrick Mahomes or Kelsey holding up the AFC trophy at the Kansas City Invitational every year?
Did the Washington Capitals screw up Alex Ovechkin's retirement? Someone in the front office apparently sent out a ticket renewal saying, "Hey, come see Alex's final year, everybody."
Yep.
And Ovechkin had not made that announcement.
Nope. So Caps PR had to come out and say, "Hey, that's not true. This isn't true. It's a salesperson sent an email to corporate sponsors."
Oh, man.
You know.
Someone acted prematurely.
Yeah. So we know this is a formality, right? The moment that they let the sales staff know, and this overzealous, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Overzealous sales guy, kid, girl, whatever, said, "Oh, I'm gonna make all my money on this one right here. I'm gonna be the first one to say."
It's the Dirk retirement, like when everybody on the Dirk circuit kept trying to retire him. He's like, "Okay, I guess I'm retiring. Everybody's telling me I am."
October, the start of Capitals hockey and Alex Ovechkin's final NHL season. Bring that back. Bring it back with the quick delete. So that's what's happening in D.C. as the NBA and NHL Finals get started this week. Glad you're waking up with us as part of the 6 a.m. Club. We want you to win our brand new giveaway this week. During the 7 o'clock expressway, we got Rangers, Royals, tickets, and we don't have to make a joke about the Rangers after they finally won a series against the St. Louis Cardinals with Bobby there yesterday on this radio station. George Pickens was finally drawn off sides. Hear how and see what you think. Have we been getting fake GP so far? And wait to hear how he was drawn off sides as we take you inside the Star on the official home of the Dallas Cowboys.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In case you did not know, we are your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean RJ, along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, on DFW Sports Station. A Texas Rangers Royals ticket giveaway coming up for you around the corner in the 720 commercial-free expressway. George Pickens, perfect Cowboy citizen so far. Boy Scout, short answers, not giving much detail. But then there's social media.
Yeah, he got the hard count, and he jumped off sides.
Here we go.
And yeah, exactly. And this is not even it's really hard to find George Pickens on social media. It's not easy. His name's not attached to the account anywhere. It's GP. There's no check mark. His actual handle is 2Pezzy_. Like, it's not easy to find him. Well, somebody had tweeted, "All right, I get it. George Pickens timeline of trouble," a thread. Some Steelers fan posted it out there. He was not tagged in this at all. Maybe somebody came back and tagged him behind it or something like that. But he ends up replying to it and saying, "LMAO, I play for the Cowboys, bro. Stop reminiscing and trying to justify the trade. Y'all just lost another good player to fake reports like this one." So then another fan comes back behind and says, "Nah, big dog, you were definitely a problem. They wouldn't have moved on from you for next to nothing if that wasn't the case." And that's when George Pickens says, "I forced, buddy. They were gladly keeping me. Have a nice day and a blessed one, my guy." So George Pickens, who's been, like you said, very, very tight with his answers, not trying to cause too many waves, gets a little worked up, little drawn off sides, tweets out his feelings, and then ultimately deletes the tweet, so those are no longer out there.
And what is his account?
It's the number 2, yeah. And then it's Pezzy_.
Okay, because, and if we sit down with George and Oxnard, whatever show does at training camp, we got to tell him, for your own benefit, you got to come up with a clear Twitter account. Because you have 15 different, this is an upside down white guy wearing a cowboy hat that I'm looking at. Zero following with 5,000 followers. These tweets are protected.
Yes.
So who is this guy? Well, that's George Pickens, apparently.
He deleted his account. So apparently he deleted his account. Somebody has swooped in and taken the handle.
So the account is gone, not just the message.
Yeah, it's tweets, everything was deleted.
A professional athlete can't have a Twitter account that has an underscore at the end of it.
Yeah,
can't have that.
Doesn't feel fitting. Feel worthy of his stature.
So that's boomer material.
But
right
this is this shows that as much as it's I'm just moving forward. I'm looking ahead. Things were not great in Pittsburgh. He still has hurt feelings or distaste for how things went over there.
Brian Schottenheimer was asked about the new chemistry between quarterback and wide receiver when it comes to Dak and GP.
No, it's more than that. It's the reps are important, but there's got to be conversation. You know, I simplify it, and probably going back to my years in New York, you know, there's a thing called the me to you factor. It's basically if you're a receiver and I'm a quarterback, you know, I need to have the ability where I trust you to be where you're supposed to be. So it's my job to throw you the ball. And if we're not on the same page, then you have to talk about it and have conversations and figure out why. And maybe I saw it this way and you saw it that way, but get on the same page the next time it happens. What are we going to do? Well, hey, I want it this way. And so it's over time. And it's not just time on the field. It's not just extra reps. That's important. But it's time away from the field. It's time in the film room. It's time at dinner. I think you guys think all we do around here is eat, because all we do is we go to dinner and we have connection. But, like, I think that's real.
We got to talk to him about the podium. A beautiful concert being interrupted by a cell phone, in the crowd with him beating the hell out of that microphone.
The movie theater with the cell phone light. Yeah, it's you got to stop. You got to stop that.
It might be moot by the time we roll around. Like, I mean, I don't know. He's going to be standing at training camp, I would guess, because they have the standing podium there. And then after that, does that just, like, does he go back to standing during the regular season? We might not get a word in with him.
You don't think he can beat the podium while standing?
Yeah.
So you can beat the podium. It's different. So, because this is actually like a loose stand that's rattling as it moves. That thing's like locked into the stand. So I don't think it does it nearly as much.
One more clip about the quarterback developing trust in the receiver. How long does that take with someone new like Pickens?
Remember, when quarterbacks are playing, they get glimpses of what's happening down the field. Like, they don't have a clear window like what I'm looking at right here. Like, there's big trees in front of them that they can't see. So you're really throwing to spots, and you're trusting people to be there. And that's where that me-to-you factor takes time to develop. And I think that's where we're in the process, and that's the best part of phase three OTAs is you can work on some of those things now and get ready to go, because when you get to training camp, then we got to be at full speed. We got to be ready to roll. And so you work through those kinks now.
Are they back on the field tomorrow, Bobby?
Yeah, I believe they are back on the field today. We won't actually get access to it until tomorrow. But yeah, media will be back in front of the team tomorrow and get a closer look at everything.
And I'm going to guess that Micah Parsons will not be in attendance since he was not there late last week. And Schottenheimer was asked, where's Micah? What's his involvement been?
Yeah, again, like I said, voluntary right now, the camp. He was here last week, had lunch with him, actually bumped into him in the airport. He was going to do some traveling, so I have not seen him yet this week. But again, my big thing with all the guys, whether they're here or not, is you can get great work in, and you can get ready, and you can be mentally prepared. But, you know, whether you're Micah, who's not here, he's here in and out, whether you're Dak, doesn't really matter. You know, it's just put your work in, get ready. There's a lot of ways to get ready and prepared, and I think the league's made it very clear that, you know, it's all voluntary.
So I got a long message from a Tolo named Frankie J. You guys may have been tagged in it. He said, I just finished listening to Shotty's presser. He's out here saying the standard is to practice hard and practice your ass off. Meanwhile, Micah is a no-show at OTAs. That's not just a bad look for Micah. It's a major letdown from Shotty, too, for not holding him accountable. How are you preaching max effort while your star defender is elsewhere? It's straight-up hypocrisy from both the coach and the defensive end. Micah keeps saying he wants to be a leader. You can't lead a team when you're not part of OTAs. Leadership starts when showing up when least expected. And Gavin Dawson commented and said, first failure of 2025 is not getting maximum buy-in from 11.
Yeah, look, I mean, I see both sides of it. I see the idea of, yeah, if Micah wants to be viewed as a leader and if Micah wants these things, he should be present for this. Like, this is the time that he should be around, especially with the new defense coming in here. He should be here making sure that he's here just like George Pickens is in a contract year, saying, I got to get make sure that I'm up to speed with everything that we're doing here. So I get that aspect of it. I also get Schottenheimer very early on trying to develop relationships, specifically with a defensive side of the field player, going, now's not the time to really push the button during a voluntary portion that the NFLPA would push back against if I was really putting pressure on him to begin with. And that's why I said the league has mentioned this as voluntary. If this is minicamp, if this is training camp, or if the effort's not there during the regular season, I think it's much more pointed from Schottenheimer. But he's trying to develop a base relationship with him right now, I think.
Do you ever watch Remember the Titans?
I just don't know how you can remotely look at this as a knock on the head coach.
He's not calling him out publicly?
Yeah, like how this is like not, this is somehow the head coach's fault. If you're going to say that, fine. Be aware that universally, the best motivating coach in the NFL does not have his star defensive end in camp either, and Mike Tomlin. So keep that same energy for Mike Tomlin, because T.J. Watt ain't there.
Yeah, or anywhere else across the league where guys aren't present. Now, look,
it's not a knock on the head coach. Like when Bill Belichick didn't have guys at OTAs or Sean Payton or Sean McVay or Dan Campbell. It's not, I don't put it on them. And I don't put it on the player either. It's OTAs, and you don't have a contract. Like, why would you be there anyway?
Why isn't the deal done?
That's the question.
What the hell?
That's who you should be mad at.
I think
which that, side?
Yes,
they were close. Like they thought they were close. They thought they were getting it done, and then it kind of turned out to be a false start. Micah and Jerry got together. That was something that got it near the finish line. But then when I think that actually set it back a little bit. You thought you were pushing it closer, but what it actually did is it probably set it back a little bit because it said, nope, we need to go back to square one. We need to make sure that we're all in agreement about where things are.
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
I still think this is done before training camp. I think it's done before training camp. I don't know that it's done before mandatory mini camp coming up, but I think it's done before training camp, and I would bet almost anything it's done before the season.
The Cowboys, to me, have let it become known that they don't care. The front office, they don't care that much if you miss all this.
They don't. Mm-hmm.
They don't care if you miss the start of training camp, even though CeeDee Lamb said it affected me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
a good year.
Zach Martin, I think, said it affected him.
Zach, for sure.
Yeah, so they don't care about it, but that is what's happening inside the Star on DFW Sports Station. Yep.
Then real quick, people say Aaron Rodgers isn't there either. That's Steelers camp. It's a joke. But we don't care about other teams. We care about our team and our guys. Okay, that doesn't matter. Like, the point is that it happens around the league. It doesn't matter. It doesn't justify anything. It's just saying this is an issue around the NFL. This is how how players operate when it comes to contract.
Well, look, a number of things are going on. No, I do think Schottenheimer is trying to start. First off, if Mike had a deal done, I think he would be there. Mm-hmm. If he had a deal done and wasn't there, I'd be killing him. Just because Brian Schottenheimer is saying this publicly, which I think he is trying to start off that relationship with Parsons and not get fined by the league, he may have told Micah at lunch, yo, man, I expected you to be there. I understand the business. I'm just telling you the way I'm looking at it. New defense, new scheme. You say you want to be a leader. I'm going to protect you publicly. I hope that's happening a little bit behind the scenes. And then, to be fair to Micah Parsons, he is trying to get a deal done. You know, like, right. This is the only leverage that these guys have is to not show up and make the team and organization feel like we're being affected by having you absent and Micah is exercising it versus running around and half jogging out there. Because not like Dak.
No. No.
And an injury where we said he's still going to get paid.
He's going to get paid.
It may be a 1% chance.
Sure. Let's say he goes out there and he Sean Lee's his knee in OTAs like Sean Lee did that one year. Okay, first, are the Cowboys going to sign him still? Or you know, is he going to lose any money? So, of course, he has to sit out.
Yeah, I think that he's obviously protected himself, and he's using means that the league allows and that other people have allowed. I don't remember, to what you're saying, you know, a few minutes ago, I don't remember there being a whole lot of criticism towards CD over this. Like, for sitting out, I think a lot of people were just like, yeah, get him paid. You got to get him done. I think for Micah, people just hold him to a different standard because he's so loud about I'm the leader, I'm the guy, and then he's absent like this, where CeeDee doesn't talk nearly like that.
And because he doesn't talk as much. Mm. Yeah. This is the downside to being a broadcaster and having your podcast, and they ask you, Adam Lefko, are you going to be at training camp? Are you going to be at these things? I want to be the leader. CeeDee is not talking that much, so he's not going to have something that we can put on the wall and say,
right,
you said that. We can hold you to that because Micah's out there talking so much, the upside and the downside. All right, are we getting a little too emotional saying goodbye to maybe the greatest sports show of all time? And it's official. There's no more questions. DFW owns the sport of golf. That's next with the Commercial-Free Expressway and a Rangers-Royals giveaway after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.